This message was recorded live at the Life Church UK building. We hope that you are truly blessed and encouraged by today's message. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Have a continued message today on what I started last week on, learn to be good. And we'll talk about that tonight, and the Lord willing, we'll talk about that also next Wednesday. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Again, thank you for making the effort to be here. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Also, remember to go online and listen to the devotions, and I think that the Holy Spirit will bless you as you do. They come on Monday through Saturday, every morning at 5 o'clock. Okay. Not that you have to get up at 5 to listen to them. Wash yourselves. Isn't that interesting? Because we know the Lord washes us, right? Did you know that the scripture says in Titus chapter 3, we are saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit? We are saved by being, washed. And what is the washing? By being made new inwardly through the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that that's what the Lord called washing. You spiritually again become alive. And that keeps you clean from the decaying nature of the flesh. Right? That makes you feel, I don't feel it, I don't see it, it's not happening. That's the decaying nature of sin. But we are kept from the decaying nature of sin by being spiritually made alive through Jesus constantly. That's an interesting little thought to learn and to learn to live in it and to have that faith that when you feel the decaying forces pulling you down in your weak nature, sin is representative in the weakness of the flesh. The weakness of the flesh is the nature of sin. Okay? And we are strong in the Lord. Let the weak say, I'm strong. And that is the renewing. And you need it consistently. So did you know you live by faith in the Son of God who strengthens you? And if you begin to believe that, you stop being afraid of your weakness. No, the opposite, like Paul. You delight in your weakness, for in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. And that's a real powerful spiritual maturity to develop. Amen? Amen. But here he says, wash yourself. Amen? Make yourselves clean. You know, it is a part of spiritual maturing that you can notice within yourself. Okay, I've gotten too low. I shouldn't have watched that. Whatever that was, when I met there or when I was there, it's trying to have its effect on me. It's trying to think for me, feel for me. And these thoughts, no. And these feelings, no. Wash yourself. Come on, folks. God should not have to slap you behind the ear and say, no, come on now, those are not my ways. Those are not my thoughts. He shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to know. Whatever these thoughts are, whatever these feelings, I don't even want to know. And you wash yourself. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. You could see if you wash yourself, evil will stop controlling you. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, crimson is a dye, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good. The good, you shall feed on my goodness. You feed on it. It's what you live every day. You live in the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is good. David says, I would have fainted lest I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in my life. All of us can go through time in life when things are not good. But praise the Lord. God can turn things for good. That's what he says. For those who love him and live for his purposes, he works all things together for good. It says in Romans 8 verse 28. And you can believe. No, it's going to turn for good. I look at things in my life sincerely and I believe God's going to turn it for my good. Really, I believe that. And I've seen God do this in miraculous ways. My father sent me to Brazil, to the city of Campinas in 1984, I think it was. At the end of 83. Virginia and I had been married. It must have been 84 by now. Anyway, somewhere around those days. It's a little while ago. And she was pregnant with our first child, Joshua. And I went over there, and I was young little fella. What was I, 24. And I went over there to prepare the crusade, and I found the stadium that I believed was the one, and the radio stations and the billboards, and every door I knocked on was jam shut. Nowhere was any opening, so there was no sign for good. It was only bad, 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 bad. And then Pastor Pinto, I'll not forget him, Carlos Pintos, was a very strong individual, real male man. It's a bit cultural over there. He wanted to have this organist, and he wanted to pay him $4,000 to come play for the crusade. It was a friend of his. And I was young and unthoughtful, and I said, no, we don't need to spend $4,000 on an organ. And that offended him. And that kind of nailed my coffin shut. That was it. That little offense finished it off. So I was to preach in his church, about 1,100 people there. And I come to the building and he said, Robert, I had a meeting with all of our leaders and we've called it up. We're not going to do a crusade. You can minister with us tonight and then I'll take you back to Sao Paulo and you can go home. And that shock, boom, hit me. You know, it hit me full force. And I sat there and it hit me so hard that all my strength was gone. And I began to weep and weep and weep as the core of my nature was revealed. And I said to him, Pastor, I know I'm young and I'm immature and I make mistakes, but I don't have anywhere to go because Jesus sent me to prepare the crusade. I have nowhere to go. Doing his will is my home, is my life. I cannot leave here until what he's asked me to do has happened. And the Holy Spirit came out of that weakness, out of that rock upon which I live, and he felt the presence of the Lord. He said to the congregation, he said to me, I'm going to preach tonight. Okay, you know. And he said to the congregation, this man's come to give his life for the city, but the city is rejecting the Lord in him. Let's pray. And that whole congregation prayed and prayed. Next morning, early, I didn't know what happened. Didn't know what he said. I heard this later. Next is Portuguese. Next morning, early, I was called and I had to go and meet with the mayor. And the mate who cleans the mayor's house was in that meeting and told the mayor what had happened, that the city was rejecting Jesus. Woohoo! When the Lord fights for you. And then the mayor said, this city belongs to Jesus. What do you want? And everything I asked for, done within a split second. And the Lord did it. And we need to realize, my dear friends, that there is a way with God and that he wants to learn us to learn that way. How we are going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I've seen it too many times to know that God is good and that his mercies endure forever, and great is his faithfulness. And perhaps we've not always seen as much goodness as we should. But I believe this is the day we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. I believe we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. I believe that some of us have gone through the sorrows and the testings and the trials, and we're here and alive today because we held on to the Lord and he held on to us. And now we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. And the Lord can do in one split second what we have labored for years and years. I remember the woman with the blood issue had spent all she had in Mark chapter 5 and only gotten worse, but she never lost her faith through it all. Through all that disappointment and through all the not good, and all the shame and pain of her blood issue, she never gave up her faith. She never gave up her faith. Say it. She never gave up her faith. Say it again. She never gave up her faith. Again. She never gave up her faith. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, because of your faith in God connecting with me, this miracle has happened. And I have seen this so many times that people for years, like that woman, have labored in faith. And here comes the reward of the Lord. And he brings us into his goodness. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the goodness of the Lord. And one thing you have to realize, it says here in Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. One thing you have to realize within yourself. I'm not as good as I thought I was. Some of us, we think we're pretty good. You know, sometimes we really think we're good. But David said, I just remember this statement of David here in Psalm 16. My soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Again, David said in Psalm 16, oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. In the New English translation, it says it this way. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. All the good things I have come from you. And here in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, we read, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They've together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue they have practiced deceit. The poison of aspen is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And the Bible says this for a very important purpose, in that under the law, there is none righteous. And that's an important revelation to heaven life at times. Because we don't always understand the depths of our fallen nature until the Heavenly Father begins to draw up the mirror and begin to show you, I don't have anything to boast in myself. My confidence is not in myself. I am dead in sin and trespasses. I'm lost in iniquity. I have no good in me. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 about himself, there is no good in my flesh nature. I have nothing to boast about. And sadly, that is still so lacking often. Why? Wherefore the very nature of sin, which in its demonic nature is pride, is self-seeking, is self-exaltation, is self-serving, is self-pleasing, often can still manifest itself in us in such disguisive and deceptive ways, manipulative ways. But how wonderful it is when you've come to the place where you surrender all to Calvary and say, crucify me, Father, together with Christ. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You see, my friends, we need this. What does goodness really mean if you think about it? The Lord, Nahum says, is good. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I love that little verse. What is goodness? Okay, I'm going to read you something here. Because if we think about, I'm not so bad. I'm actually quite good, really. And the crazy thing is, we compare ourselves, when we think that, to people that are failing. Yeah, well, at least I'm not like him. I'm not like her. And the Lord warns us of this Pharisaical mindset in one of his parables of the Pharisee who was praying and the tax collector who was praying. And he warns us against that nature that can, in a deceitful way, find its way into our religion, where we think we're so good because we compare ourselves to those who we think is not good. But we're never supposed to compare ourselves to people that are not good. We've never been called to be like anybody else but Christ, who is good. We're not to compare ourselves to others. Well, thank God I didn't do what they did. Oh, mercy. I'd never want to do such a thing. Folks, that sounds so pious, but it's so disgusting. And we need to watch out for those little traps. Can I hear a quiet amen? Not too loud. Galatians 5, verse 22. Listen to this. We're talking about what's good, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Well, the word kindness here and goodness are synonymous, or they're similar. Let me describe that word kindness, because here in my Bible I have it. It's goodness in action, sweetness of disposition, gentleness. We're talking about what's good. Gentleness in dealing with others. Benevolence. Oh, I love that word. Kindness. The word describes the ability to act for the welfare of those taxing your patience. How good are you? Right? Remember the title tonight, Learn to Be Good. Okay, the Holy Spirit removes abrasive qualities from the character of one under his control. Come on, folks. Can't we all sometimes be so short-fused or so quickly upset with another? And we live in a whole whirlwind of deception of, well, you don't understand. You know, I've had a whole full day here and I'm so tired and you just pushed me. And we fall into the obvious trap of the devil by excusing ourselves, by accusing somebody else. Folks, that is the devil's territory. You never want to live there. Never excuse yourself by accusing someone else. Yeah, but Pastor, they really provoked me. I mean, if you knew how fascinating they were and how they provoked me, no wonder I reacted that way. Yeah, that is the whole point. When the devil's got your address because you just gave it to him, he'll keep coming back on the same temptation because he knows it works for you because you believe it. And we all have an address. You hear me? And I want that to be Calvary, where he conquered it all. And no matter if we're weak, if we're tired, no matter if we've been crucified unfairly, we can endure all things. We have his goodness. I really believe, for me, goodness is a shield. And the thing that I've learned from our Savior, remember when the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 came to him, running after him, and said to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Really interesting little thought. Look it up for a second. Look it up, here it is. He said to him, now as he was going out, verse 17 of Mark 10, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? What is it that you see in me Because we don't always catch here what's really happening. What is it that you see in me that makes you call me good? Because he says, no one is good but one, that is God. Are you seeing what people can't see? Can you see God? Why? What is it, son? In other words, you're meeting with God in me. And I think, friends, people should meet the Lord when they meet us. I want that for me. Let your light so shine that man may see your good works and do what? Not glorify you, but glorify your Father. The light of life they see. I mean, I went up to McDonald's, I think I told you last week, and this order food for my grandkids. Not for me. I really do my best not to do that anymore. But anyway, and no more Viennettas. I know, I shouldn't have said that. I feel one coming on. And this voice came, you know, asking for my order. And I felt the goodness of God. And I almost said, you must be a child of God. I can hear God in your voice. But I thought, don't do it. She's a young girl. It'll scare her silly if you do that. You know, and I drive around to the window. And there is Nadia, yeah, their daughter, who comes to church here, who's like a little angel of the Lord, this girl. She comes to church every Sunday. Oh, and she said, Pastor, you didn't recognize my voice. But I met the Lord. Now, if you could catch this tonight, it could give you hope for yourself. Because when we say people should see God in me, what is it that they should see? Can you hear that? Because many of us can sometimes look at the wrong thing about ourselves. Oh, I still need this area changing. Oh, I should need that area changing. And amen, we're all being perfected consistently and constantly by his Spirit in us. But don't disregard what you've already have in him. What you already have in him. And the Lord will take the three loaves and two fishes and touch a multitude with it. He could take the little of himself in you and make all the difference. And if we could learn this little thought that I'm teaching you, it would change our way of thinking about how God and why God can use people. Because we often look at it from our own perspective. I know I'm not good enough yet. I know I'm still here and God can't use me. And often, folks, that is not true, but we're deceived by our own conscience. Because I have seen the Lord use people that have areas in their life that are not good, but there's the goodness of God, and God employs it to touch somebody, help somebody, love somebody, heal somebody. Now, I love that about God. And hear this little thought that I add to it. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, Beloved, how great a love the Father should bestow upon us that we should be called children of God, even though it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know when we see him, we will be like him. And then it says, And for this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. This is why people that aren't born again don't understand us that are born again. Because they can only see the natural. Because they only have the natural. But we who are born of the Spirit can, by the Spirit, connect with the Spirit in others. And we have fellowship in with Christ with one another. And in that fellowship, we are being washed by the blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. We're being washed. And in that washing of his presence, of his blood, we know nothing against each other. We love each other. We receive each other. We honor each other. That's the power of the congregation of the Lord. It's really phenomenal when you begin to understand these simple things. And then you begin to see how God can use people when they still have areas that really need a lot of help. Now, if we could learn this as a church, God could make us 100,000 times more powerful. What holds us back often is the crab mentality. You understand the crab mentality. You're in a pit. One of the crab tries to climb out. The other crab pulls him back. Seems to be some kind of crab culture I don't know too much about. But we're not crabs. Can I hear an amen? We're not crabs. So, let me grab my other Bible. I read something one time in a paraphrase, or it was while I was praying, the scripture that I'm going to read to you now. And it's put a prayer in my heart. And I'll tell you the words of it. I'll read it to you from James chapter 3. The wisdom that comes from above is the continual flow of God's goodness from your heart. Again, the wisdom that comes from heaven is the continual flow of God's goodness from your heart. And if you are good and don't boast about it, then you are truly wise. Yes? If we could catch this, how are people going to see God in me? They're going to see His goodness. His goodness. If you begin to believe what David believed in Psalm 16, verse 2, apart from God, I have no goodness. In a nutshell, is what he's saying. All the goodness I have comes from you, Lord. If you believe what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is no goodness. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who does good. All of us have a fallen nature. Every one of us sitting here, me, I have a fallen nature. Right now, this is my fallen nature, the weakness of my flesh. Any goodness I have is God. Now, I believe this with all my heart. I'm not trying to be good, Robert. Yes, I want to try to be good, but I know apart from God, I'll fail. And I believe that His goodness is what enables me to be good. Goodness, remember, is kindness, is gentleness, is forbearance and patience under pressure. Come on, folks, if you knew me when I was a young fella, I was such a hothead. I could be almost demonic in my anger. It was so evil. I don't want to know what that even looks like. I don't want anything to do with it. His goodness conquered the evil in me. And I believe this for any human being coming to this church. No matter how evil, no matter how dark, no matter how evil. I sat next to somebody here and he was full of murder, full of murder. And he had been cutting himself and everything. And he was like a wild beast with the evil spirits tormenting him, sitting next to me here. And I just waited for a moment. And then I felt now, and I put my hand on his belly while he was raging away. I said, just be still for a moment, let me pray. And there came the goodness of God. There came Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And all the evil left him, and he became calm. And if you could learn what I'm telling you, try not to make a show out of it. Try not to start thinking, I have a ministry of deliverance. Would you please not do this? Please don't take it to yourself. That was Jesus in His goodness. That was His goodness, kindness and love coming for that oppressed, tormented soul. It's Jesus. Peter said, don't look at me. It's not my goodness or power that has made this man walk that you all know. It's Jesus. I have no goodness of myself. So listen to this. James 3, verse 13. If you are wise, live a life of steady goodness, so that only good deeds will pour forth. This is the Living Bible. And if you don't brag about them, then you are truly wise. By all means, don't brag about being wise and good if you're bitter and jealous and selfish, because that's the worst sort of lie. Jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, inspired by the devil. For wherever there's jealousy or selfish ambition, there will be disorder and every other kind of evil. Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and full of quiet gentleness. Listen now. It is peace-loving. Here you see goodness. It's peace-loving. It's courteous. I take these words, right? And I pray them. Father, I want to know you in your goodness in my heart. I want to know your peace-loving nature. I want to know your courteous, gracious kindness in the face of hostility, cruelness, injustice, harshness, deceit, mockery. Please, Father, make my heart steadfast in your goodness. I want people who mock me, harm me, hurt me, hate me, despise me, reject me. I want them to see your goodness in me. I want to be like your son, Jesus, Father. Oh, Father, please, I want to learn to be good. You are good, Father. I hate it, Father, when I get provoked and I get so upset and I make a mess of it. I hate it, Lord. I feel so ashamed. I feel so ashamed, Lord, because I don't represent you. And I don't want to fall anymore. I don't want to fall. I want to become steady and stable in your goodness, my loving Father. Let's learn to be good. Let's learn to be good. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and full of quiet gentleness. It's peace-loving, courteous. It allows discussion. It's willing to yield to others. You know, I asked somebody to forgive me who was upset with me when I'd done nothing wrong. And a minister saw this, and he asked me, Robert, why did you apologize and ask them to forgive you when you did nothing wrong? I was right there. I saw it. I said, because I love them. I love them. And I was gladly willing to take the blame for what one hadn't done, because that's what Jesus did for me. We sometimes forget to be like Jesus, don't we? Being right isn't always right. It allows discussion. It's willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It's wholehearted, straightforward, and sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace that reap a harvest of goodness. I really believe we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. I'm serious. I really believe we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. And you're going to see the goodness of the Lord come into your home, in your children, into your relationships, into people that hate you, and people that despise you. And all of a sudden, God begins to turn things for good. And I pray that it then shows that we've learned something, that we're meek and gentle and lowly, and we don't seek the honor for ourselves and the glory for ourselves. Because we come out of that experience and lift our hands and say, Father, 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 this is yours. This is your glory. This is your glory that you grant me to share. This is your praise that you grant me to share. Oh, Father, thank you for granting me to share your goodness and glory. Thank you, Father, to see your goodness in the land of the living. Oh, your goodness, your kindness, your love is better to me than life itself. Therefore, my lips will praise you. Therefore, I will lift up my hands to your name. Therefore, I will praise you, O Lord. I will praise you, O Lord. You are worthy to receive the glory. You are worthy to receive the honor. You are worthy, my loving Father. You are worthy, my loving Father. Oh, my Father, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And I give you praise for it. I give you praise. I give you praise. Come on, can you give a bit of praise? I give you praise, my loving Father. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I give you praise for your grace. The Lord is good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord.
I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Loving Father, I'm so grateful that it is your greatest delight to show us your goodness, to turn things for good, Lord. I can feel your presence is so ready to bring a change and to begin to turn things for good today. And I thank you, Father, that your name will be praised through it all. And we give you glory and praise for the privilege, Lord, to be part of it in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Next week, eh? Good meetings on Wednesday. I love these Wednesday meetings. Have a good night's sleep, everybody. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening to our message today. We hope you feel encouraged, blessed, and strengthened for the week ahead. If there's anything you need, anything we can do at all to help and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us by visiting our website at www.lifechurchuk.org.